In the year 1999, Time Magazine published their list of the 100 most important people of the 20th century. At the top of that list was the man that they named the person of the century, the great physicist Albert Einstein. A man whose intellectual achievements and originality have made the word Einstein synonymous with genius. And while Einstein possessed one of the world's greatest minds, his memory was notoriously poor. He was unable to remember dates. He couldn't remember his own phone number. And further evidence of that bad memory is found in this story that was shared by the Reverend Billy Graham. Dr. Graham said that Einstein was once traveling on a train from Princeton when the conductor came down the aisle and he was punching the tickets of every passenger. So he gets to Einstein, and Einstein reaches in his coat pocket for his ticket, and it's not there. So he reaches in the other pocket. It's not there either. Looks in his briefcase. He can't find it. Checks the seat next to him. Still no ticket. At this point, the conductor jumps in and says, "Dr. Einstein, I know who you are. We all know who you are. I'm sure you bought a ticket. You don't need one." And so Einstein nods appreciatively. And the conductor continues down the aisle, punching the tickets of every passenger. As he gets ready to move into the next car, he looks back, and he sees the great physicist down on his hands and knees, looking underneath his seat for that lost ticket. Well, the conductor rushes back to him and says, "Dr. Einstein, I know who you are. I'm sure you bought a ticket. You don't need one." And Einstein responds, "Young man, I too know who I am. What I don't know is where I'm going." This life is a journey. And the image this story brings to mind of a brilliant man down on his hands and knees, desperately searching for his lost ticket, helps us to recognize the truth that if we are to experience any peace as we travel this side of heaven, we too must know where we're going. Einstein could not rest until he was sure of his destination. And we will find no rest until we are assured of our own. In the epistle we read this morning, a passage from St. Paul's letter to Christians in Rome, Paul directly confronts this subject, and in a single verse, he declares the truth that there are only two possible destinations for every person that comes into this world. St. Paul writes, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." This single verse, it's the entirety of the Christian message. And as we journey through this earthly life, it stands before every one of us as a great fork in the road. When confronted with absolute truth, the word that proceeds out of the mouth of Almighty God, a person must make a decision to turn one way or the other. St. Paul offers only two possibilities: death or life. And Jesus often presented the gospel in the same manner. In his Sermon on the Mount, there's the wide gate and the broad way which lead to destruction, or the straight gate and the narrow way that lead to life. There's the house built upon the sand which is destined to fall, or the house built upon the rock that will withstand any storm. The Word of God offers no shades of gray, only black or white. And this great fork in the road, it is literally the moment of truth for every one of us. We must choose one path, and in doing so, reject the other. When we consider these examples from the Sermon on the Mount and this verse from our epistle, we quickly recognize the fact that these two paths are completely different. From where they start to where they eventually end, and everywhere in between. They stand in absolute contrast. St. Paul describes one of the paths and its eventual and inevitable end by writing, "The wages of sin is death." Paul wrote this letter 2,000 years ago, but he uses a word, wage, that is just as familiar to us as it was to his original audience. We know, as they did, that wages are something a person earns. We go to work, we do our job, we expect to be paid. And that payment often arrives in a formal and impersonal manner, in a plain white envelope, because this is simply a business transaction. We completed a task, and the amount in the envelope is simply what we have coming for completing that task. We recognize that kind of fixed certainty in the wages we receive from our employer. And what St. Paul wants us to recognize is that same kind of certainty in the wages paid by sin. He tells us that sin pays a wage, and that wage is death. His words aren't easy to speak. And they're not easy to hear, especially in our culture, because they're not fashionable. They're not trendy, and they're not pleasant. But these words possess a quality far more important. These words are truth. Many people choose to reject the truth because they feel like things should be different, that somehow we are entitled to receive a different wage. But wages are certain. So that's a whole lot like believing that the next time I open my paycheck, there should be many millions of dollars waiting for me instead of what I've earned. We can try to fool ourselves, but experience has shown every one of us that any road we choose to travel is going to lead us to an end. The person who chooses to travel the road that begins and ends with the obstinate, deliberate rejection of God will receive the wages they've earned. Not a penny more and not a penny less. St. Paul describes two paths. One is a path paved by what we've earned, and it leaves us separated from God. The other is a path covered by the blood of our Lord and Savior, and it leads to everlasting life. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The first path we considered is based on wages, but the second path is completely different, because it is a gift. The gift of God. Once again, Paul uses a word that is just as familiar to us as it was to his original audience. We all know that a gift is completely different than wages. A person does not earn a gift. Gifts are wonderful, unexpected, and gifts are personal. And they often come wrapped up so that we don't know what's inside that mysterious package. And this gift, in so many ways, is a holy mystery. So what is this gift of God? What is eternal life? Well, it is certainly everlasting existence. We will live as long as God himself. And as unimaginable as that truth is, it is the least significant thing about eternal life. Eternal life is best described by our Lord, who said, "This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." Eternal life is intimate knowledge of God. Eternal life is to know the Creator of heaven and earth personally, to serve him joyfully, and to freely love his Son, who died that he may offer this gift to the world. Eternal life is union and communion with God. Eternal life is to be renewed, transformed, and completely fulfilled. And eternal life begins now. We don't have to wait to receive this gift. We can know the only true God and Jesus Christ today. We can live in his intimate presence now. We can love, we can worship, we can experience the unspeakable joy of his life-changing, life-giving power at this very moment. We don't have to wait for eternity to experience the unimaginable beauty and breathtaking glory of God. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, and this gift is ours today. You are standing at a great fork in the road, and two paths stretch out before you. Take one, and you'll work yourself to death. Receive the other, and God will give you everlasting life. Christian, remember who you are. Choose the road less traveled and rest in the assurance of God's great love, goodness, grace, and mercy. Take your Savior's hand today, and you'll always know exactly where you're going.